We are back on Canuck Central. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, here in the Kintec studio. Mike, the urologist from Brockville. Canucks Quentral is my favorite podcast around.
You can't just start every segment with this. it's I don't think it serves a good purpose here.
People are responding to it, Sat. Good and bad.
Yeah, but that's
get on board.
No, I am. It's not happening. It's not happening. You know when I dig my heels in too, they ain't coming out.
True.
Yeah, you know this.
What do you think Pettersson hates more? Andrew and Langley. Comment, password, justifying his $11.6 million contract.
Too bad there's not on all of the above.
It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. It is a Friday. It's time for a mailbag here on Canuck Central. Hit the music. Yes, a mailbag Friday here on Canuck Central. And I have agreed to stop calling it a quail bag.
Very good.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one just doesn't even start with a Q or a C.
It's very forced.
Well, yeah. It's like, you know, your questions come in the mailbag.
No, quail bag.
No? Okay.
If it was a question bag.
Question. Yeah.
Let's start with just a hot one.
Okay.
From Patrick.
All right, Patrick, what do you got?
Is the Elias Pettersson contract unmovable?
No, it's not unmovable. Believe it or not, it's not unmovable.
Immovable?
Immovable.
Even if it were to be something that would be, like, difficult to move, like, the most unmovable contract I can remember in all of sports... Vernon Wells.
Yeah.
Got traded.
Yeah.
And he was really bad.
And yeah, they took his contract.
The Angels are also a very unique franchise.
Yeah, and nobody can take the cap situation. Now, here's the thing. It's a very complicated contract to move because it's so big.
Yeah.
And nobody has cap space. So it's a complicated trade, no doubt. Even if he was playing well, it would be a complicated trade because it's so big, right?
The people contract. Would find a way to make it work, even as complicated as it is.
Exactly. So I think either way, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Moving an $11.6 million contract, no matter what the situation is. But he certainly has trade value. So I think this stuff always gets me because the opinion on trade value goes from one end to another over 10 game stretches. That's not how the league works.
Yeah. It's not often that I pat Drance on the back, but I know you put the dart on the clip from the crossover when this came up a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you know, Jack Eichel got traded with a broken neck. You know,
yeah, and
it worked out because Vegas won a cup.
I know, and people are asking. There's people like Chris and Burnaby, others have asked too, just to follow up on this. Would he have taken less if he signed after the playoffs? I don't necessarily think so.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that would have determined. Again, like, you have to look at what he's done.
Still scored 90 points.
It comes down to what he's done to this point of his career and how that ranks amongst other players in the league. Again, it ranks very high, and those players get paid. He would have been in the 11-11.5 range anyways. And if anything, people thought he was going to get paid 12-12.5 when he signed for 11.6.
Yeah.
And people were surprised it was only, quote-unquote, $11.6 million. So I don't think it would have mattered too much. Like, the number is what it is.
Yeah.
I think people have to move off that and just see how it goes, but I mean, he has trade value.
I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois got traded this offseason. It's very much so possible to trade mid-20 centermen that have this kind of profile, this kind of potential. Every team in the league would look internally and be like, how do we make this trade? Because that's how good Elias Pettersson is when he's at his best.
Next one from Sepper. Why is there a disconnect between the team and Pettersson with regards to his injury? Or is there?
I mean, again, he mentioned he had to deal with something over the course of the offseason. His knee wasn't 100% right when training camp began or whatever. But at no point is he using it or has he used it as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the season, I've asked. I haven't heard anything about it. Could it be? Yes. I don't know if the team and him are at odds about anything about that. It was curious at the end of the season last year that They said he was fine, and then he came out and said he had a knee issue.
Yeah, every single player on the team was like, I didn't have an injury. Like, we know you're injured. Nah, I didn't have an injury.
Yeah, that was a notable, like, So yeah. Of all the people, and they said there was nothing, and then he said there was. That was, okay, there was definitely some level of discrepancy there. As far as today, as we speak, not that I know of, doesn't mean there is one. There isn't one. I can't answer that one. You know, truthfully, I don't think
it is weird, because even the way Pettersson answered the question at training camp in Penticton, it was like, it affected my off-season training to a certain extent. I worked around it, but ultimately it's fine. So, like, I don't know, is that a, like, it's fine when, you know, your partner is like, it's fine?
Yeah, that's not a good fine. That's never fine.
That's never a good fine.
That's never fine.
Was that the kind of fine that Elias Pettersson was giving out, or was it just like, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm a hockey player. I have to fight through a certain level of injuries, and this is it for me right now. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, it's sort of a it's hard to know exactly how much it could be affecting Pettersson's game.
Yeah.
There's something there. He's obviously admitted to it. But is it something he can't work through? I think if it was, he wouldn't be on the ice every single night,
yeah.
You know? So that's where I sit with it.
Well, before I move off of this, is fine the worst thing to hear? Like, I'd rather hear the reasons you're upset. Like, I'd rather hear that.
Because then
fine.
I can tackle it.
Yeah. Like, fine is like, oh, now I got to deal with this for a while. Like,
no, now I got to figure out what's fine.
Because fine, exactly. You got to figure it out. It becomes the rest of your day.
I got to be Columbo on this now. Yeah. Like,
you got to keep asking in different ways.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we got to do with Pettersson. We just got to ask it in a bunch of different ways until eventually we get the answer.
Yeah. It's fine. I don't know.
Just call, like, I call me anything.
Yeah.
Say whatever you want. Just not fine.
Say anything but it's fine. Please.
Next one from Austin and Langley. Is it time to give Connor Garland an A on his jersey?
Oh.
You would kind of have to strip someone.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to strip somebody, because there is no limit on how many assistant captains you can have. There's a limit of how many people can wear an A.
Yeah.
You can get him into rotation. So they could bring him into rotation, which would mean maybe some guys would wear the A less, but they could, like, in theory.
So, well, okay. What if Pettersson is the one that wears the A less?
No. Connor Garland's doing just fine in the role that he has. He doesn't have to have an A on his jersey in order to be a part of the leadership group. I think everything from the last number of days has sort of proven that. The way he's played on the ice, him breaking up the scuffle, or maybe playing a bit of a
he got
mediator
in the,
scuffle.
Yeah.
He got
and
in the
today,
middle.
I mean, so he was mediator on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he was cheerleader today.
Today he was a very cheerful boy out there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, JT said it was, you know,
there's a lot of hooting and hollering out there, hey JT? And like, no, it's just Garth.
Yeah. Just Garth.
He wasn't wrong, to be honest.
Honestly, Garland feels like, I think I've done a complete 180 on Garland, but like, he feels like an indispensable member of the squad at this very moment in time.
You know how when Reach fell in love with Phil DiGiuseppe? Like, we're seeing that, but even to a higher degree with Connor Garland right now.
Well, because Connor Garland's a...
He's a tiny guy.
Yeah, plays higher up the lineup, too.
Yeah.
Well, I guess PDG played second line last year.
Reach is like, there's got to be some Italian in him. Look at his hair.
Must be something. But, like, you know, he's playing all situations. This was one of our critiques about Garland, is he only played 5-on-5. He played second unit power play, but to little effect.
Mm.
Right? Now he's like power play one. He's getting a little bit of PK time. He's playing top 6 minutes, scoring goals, was good in the playoffs. Like, I don't know. This guy, as Yannick said in the opening segment of today's show, like, this guy feels irreplaceable right now. So, I don't know. At this moment in time, and I'm not saying it's... Like, Garland's going to go through a slump at some point this year. Like, every player does it, especially a guy that, even though Garland's like a nice 50-point guy, pretty consistent with that. Guess what? When you're a 50-point guy, that means there's a lot of games where you don't end up getting points. So there's going to be a slump at some point for Connor Garland. I get that, but at this very moment with where the team is, like, he's loud, he's like kind of a glue guy. He feels like an indispensable player to the team in this very moment of time.
So, I mean, we're not too far removed from people accusing you of engagement baiting when saying the OEL deal was the worst deal in NHL history.
Yes.
Like, you know, but like, you know, in all seriousness, the way that people view that trade, which was viewed as an unmitigated disaster and still is viewed as an unmitigated disaster for rightful reasons, right?
Yes.
But how much is Garland making, you know, that, you know, crap sandwich taste a little bit better?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, well, you know, like that's kind of what it is, right?
It's got some seasoning on it.
Like, do you call it the worst trade in NHL? I don't think, as long as Garland plays like this, you can't call it the worst trade in NHL history. It is one of the worst trades that have been made by the Canucks.
Yes.
But it's also not the worst trade made.
Yeah. Garland is saving it from being the worst trade in NHL history.
Absolutely. Yes, he is.
Because part of that take is like, it's not just about the actual deal that happened. It's like, 6 months later, you're completely gutting the front office that made that trade. You are now tied into the buyout for Oliver Ekman-Larsson, which is going to has cost you over $2 million on the cap these last 2 years, and will cost you over $4 million on the cap for the next 2 years. So like, there's other factors than just like the actual trade that was consummated that make me feel so convicted in how bad of a trade it was. But Garland is certainly putting some seasoning on that crap sandwich.
Next one from Canuck.
Like a slice of cheese, maybe?
Yeah, that's worse.
Some oregano? I don't know.
Dakota Joshua, will he play next week? That's the question.
Next week. I don't know, man. Like, I thought that the final game of the homestand, the third game, would be the game that we could see him. Based on what the coach said today, does it feel like a player who's that close? Which is like, what, 5 days away?
It's close, but like the fact that he still has a non-contact jersey does muddy things a little bit.
I would amend my prediction of the final game of the homestand to perhaps a road trip.
Yeah, so they play Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. They'll probably get one practice in between there. Like, let's say he's a full participant in a practice in between Carolina, New Jersey. Then it's possible he plays against New Jersey next Wednesday.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, if they practice on Sunday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because I think they said they want a couple contact practices as well.
Yeah.
If they have 2 days of practice, then that third game. But maybe it's more realistic we see him play on the road trip. But I think it's close. Like, we're days away from him returning, not weeks.
The California trip could be the estimation for Dakota Joshua.
I will say, in terms of like skating speed and all that, that all looks ramped up. It's just the contact.
Yeah.
And that's obviously what Tocchet was talking about too. Arpon, do you think there is a possibility the Canucks know Demko could be done for the season and that the team is just slow playing this?
I mean, is there a chance he's done for the season with an injury that we have no history of NHL goaltenders going through? It's a possibility. It's one of the possibilities, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything that's being hidden, though. Like, everything I've heard is, like, they're working with Demko. It's uncharted territory, and it's kind of learn as you go, and they're taking their time. That doesn't mean he's not going to play, but it also means that it is somewhat tenuous with a timeline being predicted because nobody really knows when it's going to come together.
Until Demko like truly ramps up and starts getting into real practices rather than like workouts after or before practice, it's really hard to gauge when he's actually going to get into a game. It feels like I don't know, because it's been so hard to figure out a real timeline. We've sort of worked around end of October, sometime in November. Has that changed at all? It's hard to even know how much progress has there been from the opening day of training camp in Penticton when we show up to the rink and he's on the ice working with the goalie coaches to where they're at right now, because it still seems like they're kind of working on the same types of things.
Yeah, and I've seen people ask, should they just shut him down? I don't think that's the issue here. Like, I don't think it's like he needs to get healthier. It's he needs to strengthen and figure out how to work through this. And again, we don't know all the things, but one thing that we do know is that muscle itself is a very hard muscle to localize and maybe focus on to strengthen.
Yeah.
So it's more about everything around it you have to strengthen. And how do you have to strengthen your knee and what things do you need to do to be able to have stability in your knee as an NHL goaltender going post to post?
Yeah.
Getting into his stance. Those are the things, right? And because we don't know a lot, again, like it's going to take some time to figure it out. And I understand the fear. I understand it's fair to ask if he's going to play this season or not. But I don't think there's been any thought internally that he's done for the year.
Yeah.
The thought has always been we're working towards a return, hopefully the earlier parts of the season, but if not, at some point this season.
Ultimately, like, Thatcher Demko is the best source of information we have on this. And the one thing that I will not get away from until I hear otherwise is Demko in Penticton saying, I have no doubts that I will get back to 100% at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Until we hear otherwise, I'm going to continue to believe Thatcher Demko knows, like, yeah, it's kind of weird. We're bit of a trial and error because nobody's really had this injury before. Certainly no goalie I've ever heard of before has had this injury, but I will be able to get back to 100%.
And I think setbacks along the way in this recovery were to be expected.
Yeah.
I don't think they were naive enough to think that there was going to be this linear path to return because they had to do a little bit of trial and error and see how much they can push. And there's certainly been parts where they've pushed, they've had to reel it back, which tells you he hasn't been ready for that next step yet.
Yeah.
And that just tells you it's a work in progress.
Next one comes from Justin and East Van. Will JT Miller and Elias Pettersson find some Quammen ground after their heated moment at practice?
Yeah, hopefully winning games.
Yeah.
You know, having success on the PK. And for all this talk about, and sure, like, obviously they're not best friends. Everyone knows this. It's nothing new. Like, we're not sitting here, like, it's not like a revelation that JT Miller and Elias Pettersson, you know, aren't best friends off the ice. Like, yes. Newsflash. Like, we all know this by now, right? But even today, you know, we played the clip from JT. He was praising the work Pedersen's done on the power play.
Yeah, net front.
Net front. And it's
specifically.
Like, yeah, and somebody was texting in too. Do you guys remember against Edmonton when they had that late? They killed off the last bit of the game. The way they embraced the victory was Pedersen and JT both like yelling and screaming and embracing each other after a win. That to me is making up. That to me is you guys being on the ice, having success together, and celebrating it.
Yeah.
That's fine. You don't need to be best friends off the ice. Just have success. That to me is signs of things working.
Ultimately, like, looking so far into this whole thing, like, if it were that big of an issue, would both JT and Petey have signed long-term extensions to remain in this situation? You know, like, that's one thing I can't get away from. It's just the speculation of it all has gotten out of control to some level. And ultimately, all this comes down to is Elias Pettersson having success. And when he was on a 100-point pace last year, none of these questions were anywhere near the conversation. But now that he's gone nearly half a season with a handful of goals, yeah, every little issue, every old conversation, all of these things keep coming back up again. The only thing that's going to quiet all of it is Pettersson getting back to the normal level we are used to seeing him at. That's really it.
When you're winning, it masks all problems.
Yeah.
When you're losing or failing or not succeeding as a player, issues that don't exist get created.
Yeah. And that's where we're at with Pettersson right now.
Next one, Ernest. Who will be the four captains for the Four Nations faceoff teams? This is a fun question. So Crosby, I think, is the clear first answer.
McDavid made that very clear. So yeah. Crosby should be captain of Team Canada.
As it should be, right?
Talk it also if there said was today any that essentially it's like every coach involved was like, oh yeah, Crosby's the captain.
Yeah.
For Team Finland, it has to be Barkov, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, that feels right. Sweden.
Sweden, I mean, if Landeskog was playing, I think it would be him because he's like the most, you know, probably the biggest Swedish quote-unquote leader.
Maybe go Hedman.
Hedman, I think, is fair. Yeah.
Hedman.
Zibanejad, but he's kind of
It's probably Hedman.
It's probably Hedman.
Yeah.
I'd say
I would say Hedman or Carlson, but probably
Hedman. Yeah, I mean, could be Carlson too, because of the experience and longevity. It's probably one of the more veteran defensemen, yeah.
So U.S. is kind of the interesting one, because it's a bunch of young guys. Mm-hmm. Is it Dylan Larkin, maybe?
I don't know.
JT Miller?
I mean, could it be Quinn?
They'd probably go Austin Matthews.
No, it's probably right? Matthews. It's Matthews.
I would say, yeah, it's probably Matthews.
It's Matthews. I mean, he is the single biggest American star, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes they just do the, like, well, this guy's older.
I guess Eichel could be in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he could be. But, I mean, Matthews, he's the captain of a Canadian team.
I would say Matthews. He's probably the best forward, certainly, on the team. Hughes is there as the best overall skater, as is Jack Eichel. I mean, they've got a... absolutely loaded team.
Yeah, it's insane how good the Americans are. They're scary good.
But I'm gonna say smart money's on Matthews.
Next one from Basketball Phil. Which coworker at 650 are you most likely to get into a scuffle with?
Oh, man. For me, it's definitely Bic, 100%.
You think so?
100%. Mm. 100%. I mean, like, yes.
I would. I'd probably go Dom.
Probably, yeah, I'd say that. I mean, you guys almost came to blows a couple times.
Not really, not actually.
I mean, it. Reese didn't say anything. He's moving on.
I'm going to say Randy.
Next one.
Yeah, probably. No, it's because, like, I mean, you've worked so closely with Randy for so long. You guys are good pals. And, like, when you're good pals, like, you know how to push each other's buttons sometimes. And you're not afraid to tell your good pal sometimes so you know what off, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it can lead to things. And if you're competing...
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things that you get into it and then, like, you laugh about it after.
Yes, 100%.
It's like a brother thing. It's not like, you know, any animosity.
Somebody ends up with a roundhouse kick to the face and then it's over.
Yeah, but I definitely smack Bic, 100%.
Like, just go full JCVD and, like, you know, roundhouse kick to the face and it's over.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Wow, you got the reference.
Yeah, I did.
Unbelievable.
It took a second. I was like, JCVD. next one from Vicky. How much money would it take for you to crash through a folding table, Bills Mafia style?
I mean, it would have to be like...
Are we talking like off a... like
a trailer?
A trailer onto a table type
thing? Yeah, so onto a trailer on grass.
On
grass.
All right.
Yeah.
What? She didn't specify.
Mm-hmm. Let's say on grass.
On grass. Probably 100 grand.
100 grand?
Yeah.
I might do it for like 100 bucks.
Yeah. No, I'm not putting my body through something like that for less than 100 grand.
Trailer's pretty high, though.
Yeah, it's not.
Maybe like 500. Yeah. 500 and I'm there.
500 bucks?
Yeah.
Man, you really don't value your body. You don't respect yourself enough.
I'm built different. Yeah. I'd probably break my wrist again.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a chance you're going to break something.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be worth, even 100 grand, I'm not even sure. Honestly, like, I don't think it's worth breaking something for, like, less than 100 grand.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of conditions are we talking about here? Is the table, like, because in wrestling, when they go through the table, it's like, you know.
It's not a table.
No, they've already, like, you know, set the table up in order for it to be easily broken.
You've also seen some of the footage, too, at Bills Mafia tailgates where some of the people have lit the tables on fire.
Yeah, I'm not doing any of that. Like, you can't pay me to do anything that's going to cause me significant long-term harm. Like, it's not worth it. Like, I've had a serious injuries before. Yeah, they're not worth it. They're really not worth it. They're not worth it.
Yeah, 10 grand, I'd do it.
Maybe I'm too low.
Definitely too low.
I was watching the Mr. McMahon documentary with my partner, who's not a wrestling person at all, but she was interested in the story.
Yeah.
And like, there's towards the end of the doc, they're showing like the Shane McMahon, like all the bumps he took through the years, and he's just like, "Is this guy like?" Right? Like, what? Why is he jumping off of the screen through a table?
Yeah, like, how far are you trying to go for your father's acceptance? Like, at what point do you say, dude, dad, you're not worth it?
It's just like the bumps this guy took, and I forgot about the match with Kurt Angle, and he tried to throw him through the glass. The glass didn't break, and he just landed on his head.
Twice, too. It didn't break twice.
She's just laughing about it.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so bad. What are you supposed to do? You're like horrified.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
It's like a defense mechanism.
Wrestling's not real. Also this.
Man has severe brain damage.
Next one from Viking's dad. Would you rather be perpetually unfulfilled but make lots of money, or be inspired doing exactly what you love while just scraping by?
I guess the latter, because that's the life I chose.
I mean, in our current spot. I would, well, okay. So if there was an option, though, like someone came to me and they're like, hey, you got to do this job that sucks, but you're going to make so much money.
Yeah.
I might do that. Because, like, I'm assuming I can still do stuff I love outside of that job.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
People
depends
did this on like, the oil rigs, right? And just yeah. Like, yeah, I'll yeah. go live in Fort Mac for a couple years.
Make some money, come
make
back.
Make a bazillion dollars, and then figure out the rest of my life.
Honestly, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Should we all do it?
Well, it depends on how much it is. Again, yeah. Like...
I'm thinking, like, I don't know millions if it's as, of dollars.
Lucrative as it was maybe 20 years ago.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, not many things are, to yeah. be honest. Yeah, it's, but
I mean, look,
I'm not sure I'm going to have a socioeconomic take right now.
I could, you know, like, depends what the job is. But yeah, like, I could put up for a certain amount of time with something that I don't love if it was going to help make life more comfortable. But ultimately, like, I'm lucky enough to do something that I love.
Yeah.
And not that I live super comfortably, but I make a living wage, so it's nice.
Well, I mean, you know what's funny? Because I've done a lot of things that I don't like in this industry.
Yeah.
To stay in the industry.
Yes.
And cut
that's
my
also
teeth
true.
In the industry.
Yes.
So it's probably considered a mark move doing that, not making money. At least people, you know, going and doing something they don't like in an industry and making a lot of money. Early parts of your career in radio, you might have to go to a small town, do a job you don't really like, mm-hmm. and not get paid a lot of money for it
yes.
for a few years.
The
so.
Worst or of ever. Both worlds. next one, Chef Swagger from Hell's Kitchen. What is the best Halloween costume you have worn? We'll end with this one. Actually, I got one more after.
The best Halloween costume I've ever worn.
Honestly, I think the best one I did, and I've been thinking about this before, was probably a very simple one. I wore black dress pants, a white dress shirt, cut the white dress shirt up a little bit, and put like fake blood on it, and painted my face white, and made myself a zombie.
Mm. Okay.
Looked like so, I might create like a bite mark on your arm or something. You know?
Do you guys know the Costco guys?
Huh?
The Costco guys?
Oh, yeah,
guys?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's what my wife and I were going to go as this year.
Very
didn't.
Clever.
We didn't end up. The party we were going to got canceled, so
oh.
we didn't have to bite the bullet and actually buy the stuff for it.
But last year, you were the bear.
I was the. Well, yeah. That I wouldn't even say it was the best though, because it's just like putting on an apron and a white T-shirt, right?
I would say Austin Powers. That was a good one.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Do you have yeah. pictures?
I do not.
Not are you sure?
Not with me.
Okay.
I shaved my chest hair into. Yeah.
You put it together? Bundled it together?
Yeah. I went the whole nine yards with that.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Respect. Respect.
That's yeah. commitment.
And you know what?
That was like, commitment.
That's commitment right there.
And the best thing is you went organic. Instead of going buying like fake environmentally harmful things, use your own body here.
Yes.
Well,
that's very crafty.
That's, yeah.
See, that's how you did natural repurposing.
Yeah. To quote the movie, I shaved it into a big
Johnson!
We'll end with this one.
I think you should end it on this one. Yeah, go on.
Mike. Sat, what is your concern and why are you not content with Quamet?
Because it's stupid.
Is there a conspiracy that is contradicting you? Maybe you should contact and connect with the Quantstable and have them convict the Quant.
No. Just no.
Mm.
It just doesn't hit.
I mean, that question was so... I think I'm over Quamet now because of the question.
They really leaned into it.
Yeah, they really did.
I gotta give them credit for like finding that many words that work with it, though.
Josh reading that gave me a headache.
Yeah.
It was hard. My brain was like, say this properly, and I wasn't able to.
Yeah, this text here says, terrible. I agree.
Terrible. All right. We'll get to some mailbag overflow and a couple other things when we close out the show next on Sports at 650.
Catch up on what happened in Vancouver sports with Halford and Brough in the morning. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.